Hello, good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. How you doing, everyone? The NFL is officially in lockout mode. News since the last time we talked. We talked Friday morning, the day the deadline was due for the NFL and the NFLPA to extend their deadline or come to an agreement or what have you. And a lot has happened since that time. The union has decertified. They filed an antitrust lawsuit against the NFL, and the NFL has locked out the players. So, that's the depressing news for right now. Should we talk basketball instead? Should we talk NCAA tournament? Who's everybody got? Who do you have winning it all in your tournament? I tell you what, I've got the winner of Duke and UConn winning the whole thing. They meet in the Elite Eight, the regional final for the right to go to the Final Four. My prediction is whoever wins that game will win it all. The only problem is I don't know who to pick. I've entered a preliminary choice of UConn. I'm thinking about changing that, though. I'm liable to change that to Duke to win it all. I just think that UConn's really hot. They won 5 in a row in the Big East tournament, pretty much the top tournament in all of college basketball, and to win 5 in a row to win that, that's pretty awesome. Of course, Bucky plays on Thursday night, opening round game against Belmont. So here's a little secret. I was reading some statistical research about who to pick in the NCAA tournament and, you know, what the statistics say about picking teams, things like that. They were saying I've gotten 2 tips, and one is to pick teams who have a record over 800. So that win a lot, regardless of whether you're from the Big Ten or the Big West. And the other is to pick teams that have among the largest scoring margin in all of NCAA basketball. You know, in Division I basketball, there's about 350 teams. There's a lot of Division I basketball going on. So they say pick the teams that have the largest scoring margin. You know, like the difference between how much they score to how much they hold their opponent. It's like pick the team that has a plus 15 scoring margin. And so anyway, on both accounts, both scoring margin and winning percentage over 800, Belmont is one of the top teams in the nation who the Badgers play this weekend. So that's not good news for the Badgers. The Badgers, of course, heading into the tournament on 2 straight losses. Albeit one was to the number one team in the nation in Ohio State on the road, so not too much, to say there. Bad, although the Badgers didn't exactly play well in that game, and then to score just 33 points in the Big Ten tournament against Penn State, that doesn't reflect very well on your record either. Alex says Purdue to play Cinderella. They are a number one seed, or number 3 seed, Alex. They're not that much of a Cinderella. We talk about Cinderella, we're talking about mid-major teams. We're talking about Gonzaga and Butler. Purdue, a number 3 seed to play Cinderella. Come on. That's the chalk, practically. Purdue in the Final 4, I see. We will see. I'm not, I don't follow NCAA basketball as much as I used to, as much as I'd like to anymore. Although I enjoy it. I think everybody does. This is the best time of the year to watch basketball, so March Madness is upon us. If you haven't yet, get into the joint Pocket Doppler and Cheesehead TV bracket tournament for some cool winning prizes from both Pocket Doppler, a t-shirt and a coffee mug, and from Cheesehead TV, a poster and the NFL Cheesehead TV draft guide. And here's what I'm doing. If I win it all, I'm entered in it. If I win it all, I'm going to donate my prizes to another contestant. Because I'm probably going to win it all. You don't have to get an invite to get in. If you just go to pocketdoppler.com, check out the post on it. It's very easy to find, pocketdoppler.com. There's a post right there on the homepage about our bracket tournament. And all it has is a password you have to put in. That's all you got to do. Everybody's invited. All you have to do is put in a password, and that's it. Nobody gets like an invitation sent to their email or anything like that. So, if you're like me, I mean, I'm in other bracket contests on CBS Sportsline, CBSSports.com. So it was easy. All I did was import my bracket into the Cheesehead TV Pocket Doppler one, the exact same bracket that I did for my other contest as well. So it's really easy, and your chances of winning are now greatly increased, seeing as I'm donating my winnings. Not that I don't want a Pocket Doppler mug or t-shirt or anything like that. I've already got the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. I'm editing the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide, so I want to give that to another person out there. So if I win, like I said, and I probably will, you know, it's a pretty good chance then you might get some free prizes. Is that enough basketball talk for the day? Should we actually talk about some football? There is some news going on, although it's perhaps maybe not as interesting as you might hope or anything like that. Let's take a look at today's Packers Daily Links. If you go to the top of our live blog, I've provided a link to today's Packers Daily Links. Looks a little something like this. Top story today, wide receiver Greg Jennings, honored by his hometown of Kalamazoo, Michigan. If you take this here, it'll take you to the, if you click that link, it'll take you to the Kalamazoo Gazette, I'm sorry, pardon me. And the post was made yesterday before the celebration, but it's to honor wide receiver James Jones for winning the Super Bowl. Kalamazoo is both where he went to high school and college. And what did they say about it? The WMU celebration will feature performances by WMU's pep band and cheer and dance teams. There will also be remarks from Jennings, among others. Not too much to say about that. Congratulations to Greg Jennings. He's the man. Always has been, always will be. Proving he's one of the best wide receivers in the game of football. Now on to more depressing news. And by the way, I haven't mentioned this yet. If you want to comment, feel free to use Twitter and then tweet with the hashtags CheeseheadTV or the hashtags Railbird, and your comments will get through. You can also just comment using the comment section on the live blog, and your comments will be approved today as well. On to the depressing football news. Seeing as the NFL is now officially locked out, the owners have locked out the players, literally. Story number two, about kicker Mason Crosby. If you click the link where it says lockout is going on, it'll take you to a newspaper website in Canada. It's from where former Packer John Ryan, punter John Ryan, is actually from Regina, Saskatchewan. And it talks about how Ryan is going to work out with Mason Crosby and another former Packer, long snapper J.J. Jansen. So a couple of specialists are going to get together in Arizona to work out. The article says, quote, John Ryan plans to work out in Phoenix with UFL punters Tom Malone and Danny Bauer, Green Bay kicker Mason Crosby, and Carolina Panthers long snapper J.J. Jansen. So, while the Packers have literally locked the doors on Mason Crosby and others, so they're going to get together and go work out in Phoenix. And this is just an example of one article I could find on this. I'm sure, happening to many players across the NFL, not just Mason Crosby. We remember last Friday when we were last spoke on Railbird Central, Brian Bulaga and Mike Neal, last year's first and second round draft choices of the Green Bay Packers, were conversing on Twitter how last Friday was the last day that Brian Bulaga could work out at the facility, and Mike Neal and commented that they're going to lock the doors on him. And it has happened. Was talking to a user on Twitter, Felicia Jensen, was talking about how punter Tim Maste was locked out as well. He returned to Green Bay to only find out that he had been locked out by the Packers and couldn't work out at the facility. So, happening to several players, and not just in Green Bay either, you know, across the NFL, it looks like this is what's happening, and there's nothing the players can do about it until there's a new CBA, until there's a new agreement. John Rahor says, the NFL, the no fun league. Packers lot. Felicia Jensen seems to know a lot for being like 16. Felicia's older than that, isn't she? I like Felicia. What's her Twitter handle? For everybody out there listening, follow Felicia. Felicia Jensen 21. There you go, Alex. She's 21. I'm assuming that 21 is her age. I don't even know. Just part of her username. So here's another topic that at least someone finds controversial. Third story down in today's Packers Daily Links comes from Kevin Seifert of ESPN.com. He's the NFC North blogger. And, he caters to the entire NFC North, and he takes on a topic that's pretty much applicable to everyone, season ticket holders or and people who buy tickets to those games, whether it's the Packers, Vikings, Bears, or Lions. And he notes that, you know, three of the teams plan on paying interest to season ticket holders if any games are lost. If you click this link, it'll take you to ESPN.com's website. And Mr. Seifert writes, quote, Over the weekend, three NFC North teams informed season ticket holders of plans to offer some level of simple interest as part of any refund. The amount literally could end up being pennies, but I guess you could consider it a modest gesture of acknowledgement for holding the cash of your best customers for 6 months or more. And Mr. Seifert takes a little umbrage with the teams asking their season ticket holders to pony up their money, pony up their cash ahead of time with no guarantee of games being played without a CBA. He writes, quote, previously here, "I've referred to that approach as an interest-free loan to cash-strapped owners during a lockout." So comparing it to an interest-free loan, I don't know. I guess I don't have a problem with it because, you know, everybody, players and owners and fans, is still hopeful that games are not going to be missed. I mean, it's a long way from August and preseason games, let alone September and regular season games. So, I mean, there's a lot can happen between now and then. That could happen between now and the draft. I'm not hopeful that anything's going to happen before the draft by now, but I mean, we are a ways from games being canceled here. And this is the time of year when they would usually be looking for cash. So I personally don't have a problem with them asking for money from their season ticket holders. It's just a normal part of, you know, doing business, and they have said they will refund money if there is games lost. If I was a season ticket holder, and I have family members who are, that's fine by me. And they're even going to pay simple interest, which, yes, I do realize that that isn't much either. So, but a small gesture, and a good one, I suppose. Better than nothing. At least they're acknowledging the situation and the hardship this could cause a season ticket holder. There's that. But, you know, as far as this being a controversy, I really don't see it. I really don't. It doesn't bother me, you know, that the owners are asking for money from the season ticket holders. It doesn't bother me. There doesn't have to be a CBA in place for that to, for it to bother me. I don't know what else to say. I mean, just it seems to be here that there's an issue that Mr. Seifert's latching onto. And I mean, it's a newsworthy event and worthy of mention, but I just don't. It doesn't bother me, and I don't think it should bother anybody else either. I'd like to talk to a season ticket holder who is bothered by it, wondering, like, why. All of a sudden, if there is a deal at the last minute, you know, I think it would be quite a hassle and, a hurried exercise if all of a sudden there is an agreement in the CBA in August sometime. And then to get everything taken care of then, get all the payments from ticket holders and, that would just be a rushed exercise. That seems, I wouldn't like that either. You know, are you going to get your tickets on time? Is your payment going to go through and things like that? It just a hassle to me. Question here on Twitter, directed to Adam Schefter, but for our purposes, we'll take a look at it from Matt P. Turner. How did the draft go the last time there was a lockout? Interesting. I believe the last time there was a lockout was 1987. And if I'm correct, the draft went through as normal that year, and that's what's going to happen this year as well. I don't even know when the lockout started in 1987, though. If memory serves me correctly, you know, the lockout didn't happen in March. It happened immediately before the season started. So, I think there was an agreement in place up until the, before training camps were opening and things like that. But, of course, here, talking about the lockout, that, you know, the draft is going to be normal this year. The draft, nothing is going to change. The Packers are going to select their 7 rounds of draft choices, which is debatable how many choices they'll actually get out of that. It's looking like the Packers will actually have 9 draft choices, an extra draft choice in the 7th round for the trade of, ironically, J.J. Jansen, who we already talked about this morning. How often does a J.J. Jansen's name, the long snapper, who's not even with the Packers, how often does his name be brought up twice in one episode? Suppose it happens more often at Railbird Central than any other show on the internet. My love for special teams. But, yeah, so the Packers trading him to Carolina and 2 years ago, and look like they're going to get an extra 7th-round draft choice. And then, of course, we'll get one for losing Aaron Kampman via compensatory draft choices. I've tried to explain compensatory draft choices before. And if you don't know how compensatory draft choices are given out, are awarded, I'll try to explain it. And it's somewhat complicated, and I'll try to explain it as simply as possible. You get compensatory draft choices for free agent losses. But it's not just if you lose a player via free agency. There has to be some sort of give and take. If you sign a player and lose a player, they kind of cancel each other out in free agency. Now, there's different levels. I mean, if you lose a Pro Bowl player but only sign just a minor role player, street free agent, they're not on the same level. So you kind of have to look at what a team, you know, got, gained, and lost. But basically, I mean, if a team lost 2 free agents and signed none, as everybody knows, Ted Thompson doesn't sign many free agents, so the Packers frequently get compensatory draft choices as a result. They lose annually more players than they sign. Not that the Packers don't ever sign free agents, but they're just fewer in number than other teams by far. So, you know, last year the Packers lost Aaron Kampman. He might have been the only one they lost last year, at least big name, and they didn't sign anybody. They signed Charlie Pepper, but I don't think he even counted in the free agent equation, because there's big difference between Aaron Kampman and Charlie Pepper, Pro Bowl player, as opposed to Charlie Pepper, at least coming into the year, just a role player. So, the Packers stand to get a draft choice in return for losing him. The Packers rule points out it's based partially as well on how much the player got paid. That's one part of the equation. Apparently, there's several parts. The highest compensation you can get is a 3rd-round draft choice. They don't give 1st or 2nd-round picks for losing players. So the highest you can get is a 3rd-rounder. So, I don't even think that the Packers personally will get a 3rd-rounder. I see a lot of people out there predicting the Packers will get an additional 3rd-round draft choice. I don't think they're going to get the highest compensation for a player, Aaron Kampman, who did get injured this past season and didn't even play part of the season. Playing time is another part of the equation as well, in addition to how much a player got paid. So that's why I don't think they will get the highest amount. They might get a 4th. My prediction is a 4th-round draft choice, perhaps even a 5th. So we will see. So I expect the Packers to perhaps get a fourth round draft choice in return, an extra, which is nice. Certainly a nice little bonus. And as we look ahead here, you know, the Packers have so many free agents this season. You know, Brandon Jackson, Darren College, Cullen Jenkins. The list goes on. There's like a dozen of them. I'm not going to name them all. But we could be looking at the next year's draft, several draft choices getting in return. If, you know, that's what the collective bargaining agreement includes, that in future seasons, which is no guarantee. On the live blog here, bringing up an interesting topic that is worthy of debate. And by all means here, I'll open up the phone lines. I'll put up the phone if anybody wants to call in, 646-797-2909, at any time. If anybody wants to call into the show, today I'm just rambling with the NFL being locked out and talking about college basketball instead of football at the beginning of the show. If anybody wants to talk about anything, feel free to call in, because I do not have a set schedule and things I really want to get accomplished today with football, you know, for the time being, not existing. Although it is a long time from September, like I said. But yes, the NFLPA, the NFL Players Association, encouraging draftees not to attend the NFL draft, which is interesting, and I think that's a poor choice. You know, they've decided to go on with the draft, have that regardless, you know, have this event, which, you know, is a smart deal from both the player's point of view and the NFL. I mean, why touch this event that really, you know, you can't sign the draft choices until there's a new CBA, but, you know, there's no hurt in having this draft, really. And here the NFLPA encouraging draftees, you know, the first round guys not to attend the draft in New York City, hold up the jersey of the team that's going to be drafting them. I think that's really, you know, not the way to go about this. I mean, for the draftees, for these guys that have worked so hard to put themselves in a position to be drafted in the first round, to be the number one overall draft choice, I mean, doesn't that kid deserve to go get the attention of being in New York City, of walking up on stage and, you know, shaking the commissioner's hand, even though there's a disagreement about it right now? Doesn't that person deserve to walk up on stage, you know, shake the hand of the representative of the entire NFL, get his picture taken, and I think those players deserve that. You know, they shouldn't be encouraged not to attend. That just seems highly misguided, highly irregular to me. You know, it's drawing attention to the negative aspect right now of the lockout. You know, for all we know, nothing will change once the season starts. You know, that the common fan, the regular fan who, you know, just maybe perhaps isn't as diehard as the people listening to this show, but the people who, you know, tune in on Sundays and love the Green Bay Packers and every team in the NFL, you know, for all they know, you know, games could be as normal in September, and they, you know, don't want to hear about the negative stuff, about players staying away, trying to make a statement about the game. The NFL draft just doesn't seem to be the place to me they should be making a statement. Go up, show up, be happy, you know, put on a good, happy face, and, you know, this is one of the NFL's signature events. They make a lot of money off the draft, a ton of money off the draft, in terms of advertising and selling rights to broadcast it, both on ESPN and the NFL Network. That's, you know, the players' union has got it wrong by encouraging these kids not to come, not to show up. They don't deserve it. Both the players and the owners don't deserve that. You know, just keep it as normal. This is one of the best things. I love the draft. Who doesn't? Doesn't everybody, you know, love watching it in April and seeing who the next players are going to be? I mean, who doesn't enjoy watching the draft? Everybody does. And to, like, you know, bring politics into this doesn't seem right. It's 8:30. We're going to take a break. Stick around. When we come back, we'll talk more of whatever. College basketball, perhaps. We will see. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Thanks for joining me today. We've got an opportunity here to talk about some real football, actual football, because of a couple good stories I found on the internet today, including the Packers Daily Links. A couple articles down, you'll find a story about Ryan Grant and an article written by Adam Kaplan of Fox Sports. And he finds out that Ryan Grant is due a large roster bonus in the not too distant future, or at least you hope it's not the too distant future, as you'll see here in a second. Kaplan writes, quote, Grant, according to a source, has a $1 million roster bonus due on the 15th day of the new league year. Of course, with the players being locked out, the start of the new league year is unclear. Grant also has a total of $750,000 of per-game roster bonuses, which is equal to $46,875 per game active, and a $3.5 million base salary for 2011, the final year of his contract. So, yeah, pretty big bonus coming due for running back Ryan Grant, the starting running back for the Packers before he got injured in week one of the NFL season this past year. So, Ryan Grant, the question regarding him, the question is whether the Packers would cut him prior to the 15th day of the league year, which, you know, right now we have no clue when that'll be. That'll be 15 days from the time the new CBA is struck. You know, if it was struck today, highly doubtful, highly doubtful. It would be 15 days from now. But I mean, if it's struck, you know, the first day of July, it'll be July 15th, or I guess 16th, that would be 15th day of the new league year. So I have no clue when this will actually come about, at least until they agree upon a new CBA. But Ryan Grant do all this money. The question is whether they would cut him to avoid paying that money. And Kaplan basically argues, and nothing too, I would say most people would agree with him, that, you know, the Packers pretty much have no choice but to pay this money, because if you don't, you're basically relying on James Starks, you know, a guy who played all of, what was it, 8 games last year, and looked very good for a rookie, you know, during the playoffs in the Super Bowl. Did a good job for the Packers while he was active and available. But just to put all your eggs in one basket with James Starks seems risky. You know, basically, if you cut Ryan Grant, you're saying, well, we're going with James Starks come hell or high water. You know, Brandon Jackson is a free agent. There's no guarantee he's going to be back with the Packers next season. That they have Dimitri Nance on hand. He's under contract, but, you know, what, Dimitri Nance get 20 carries all of last season over the course of the 20 games the Packers played in the regular season and the playoffs? An average of one carry per game, something like that. So, you know, that the Packers could certainly add somebody in the draft. It's possible. But again, I mean, are you going to depend upon a rookie as well? You know, rookies are no guarantee to contribute at all. So I guess the question I'll throw out here, and please, by all means, leave your answer on the live blog via Twitter or comment or call into the show. Once again, 646-797-2909. Would you cut Ryan Grant in order to save this amount of money, a $1 million roster bonus, a additional roster bonus of almost $50,000 per game, which adds up over the course of 16 games, and his $3.5 million base salary. You know, a lot of money tied up into Ryan Grant. You know, not huge money, not Aaron Rodgers money, but still a sizable chunk and a sizable sum nonetheless. Looking at the comments on the live blog, Jamie George saying, no, I would not cut Grant. John Rahor, how about no? I mean, this certainly, you know, most people here, I think, would agree. Everybody listening to this show and Packer fans in general, I think, would are happy to pay this money for the insurance policy that Ryan Grant is. And, you know, I wouldn't even say he's really an insurance policy. You know, he's the incumbent starter. You know, I think he starts the season as the starter, not the backup to James Starks. So it's his job to lose until Ryan Grant proves he's incapable of starting. I think the job is his. And, you know, he's going to be playing for a new contract after this current 2011 season. He's going to, you know, that we talk about this incentive so often about players in the final year of their contract having big years so they get a nice payday come free agency next season. Ryan Grant's going to want to go out and have a big year so he gets paid a multi-million dollar contract 1 year from now. You know, if he happens to get injured again, ends the season on injured reserve, then he's not going to get paid. He's not going to receive a whole lot of money in free agency or a whole lot of interest, for that matter, from other teams, let alone the Packers. So a lot of incentive for him to have a good year, which is good news for the Packers. I mean, they of course, want him to have a good year. And James Starks as well, no doubt about it. John Rahor comments, if they haven't cut Justin Harrell yet, why cut Grant? Good question. I thought the Packers might cut Justin Harrell prior to the CBA expiring, like they parted ways with Donald Lee and Derek Martin. But it didn't happen. Thought it might, but it didn't happen. Justin Harrell doesn't have a huge contract in what I believe is the final year of his contract as well. So that perhaps played in part of it, that there is not any longer a ton of money tied up into Justin Harrell. So I suppose that the Packers can still cut him going forward, and they may. We will see. Something had popped into my mind the other day. You know, talking about players the Packers may cut, yeah, like I just mentioned, they had cut Derek Lee and or Donald Lee and Derek Martin, and wondering about other players the Packers could have cut. Justin Harrell is one of the names that come up, and another is Mark Tauscher. And I kind of wondered to myself, what role Mark Tauscher is playing in this whole players union CBA whatchamacallit, I suppose. He was a player representative for the players union, the team representative for the Packers. I think his place has been taken by Aaron Rodgers. Of course, there was some uncertainty even two seasons ago with the career of Mark Tauscher when he underwent, I believe, ACL surgery following the 2008 season, and he wasn't signed in 2009 till midway through the year. So, you know, there was kind of some uncertainty about his career even as far back as 2 years ago. So he kind of, got his place had been taken by Aaron Rodgers as a player's representative for the players union, the NFLPA. And I had wondered just in the recesses of my mind what role he is playing currently with the players union and any antitrust lawsuits they might be filing against the NFL. It probably is minor, but just things that I wonder about my mind, things that we might hear of going forward. In other Packers news, other roster thing, actually things we can talk about here regarding the team today. Another story that's in today's Packers Daily Links comes from an article from John Clayton of ESPN. Just kind of is answering some mailbox questions, reader questions into him. And if you click this link here on Colin Jenkins, it takes you to ESPN.com and you can see the picture of Cam Newton. But he addresses many topics in this article. And just in the sidebar, the short takes, he addresses one reader question. And it says, quote, Patrick in Green Bay can't understand why soon-to-be free agent Colin Jenkins isn't getting any love. The answer is Mike Neal. The Packers seem to want to give him Jenkins' job and let Jenkins walk. So that's the view from John Clayton of ESPN, letting Colin Jenkins walk and just handing over the job to Mike Neal. You ask me, I think that's the way it's going to play out as well. And it's not just as if they want Colin Jenkins to walk away. I personally think that they would be happy to have him, but he is going to try to command a lot of money on the free agent market, more than the Packers want or could even afford, given that there's going to be a salary cap next season and they are going to have to fit under it. The Packers have a lot of money tied up, and Colin Jenkins is going to be looking for his payday, coming off a fairly successful season in 2010. You know, he's going to be a coveted free agent. He's going to get paid by somebody out there really well. So I just think that the Packers know they probably can't afford to keep him at what he's going to be asking. I think they would be happy to pay it if they could afford it. I just don't think they will. The answer to that question then is, you know, who takes the spot is, you know, probably Mike Neal, last year's second round draft choice, who played fairly well in limited action in training camp in the preseason and in the regular season before he himself had a season ending injury. But again, not an ACL tear or anything like that, which is good news. I believe it had to do with his, is it the pectoral muscles or is it the biceps? Something upper body, at least. I forget the exact injury, but, you know, Mike Neal probably going to be taking his place in the starting lineup if Jenkins leaves. Don't know who else might take his spot. I suppose C.J. Wilson, who started for the Packers in the Super Bowl. Everybody catch that. C.J. Wilson, rookie, seventh-round draft choice, was a starter for the Packers in the Super Bowl. That basically comes because, if I'm correct, I think the Packers opened up their first play on defense in the hippo formation with four defensive linemen, meaning I think Howard Green was a starter for them as well in the Super Bowl. If I'm correct, I would have to look that up, but I think that's the way it worked out. I mean, all things being equal, I don't think Howard Green or C.J. Wilson are starters on the defensive line next year. I mean, of course, B.J. Raj, he is a starter. And, of course, Ryan Pickett is a starter. It's who the third defensive lineman might be in the 3-4 base formation. You know, I think Mike Neal is the guy. He's the most versatile in terms of both stuffing the run and rushing the passer. So I think he's the guy the Packers look to fill that void should Cullen Jenkins leave, which is looking likely. And another topic we could touch on today, Nick McDonald. Kind of interesting how many people are talking about Nick McDonald, and I'm not exactly sure where this is all coming from. I mean, I realize where the news comes from. It kind of came from the NFL scouting combine when general manager Ted Thompson was asked about him. But anyway, here, just let's get to this piece of news coming from Pro Football Weekly, their website, not their print edition. I don't know, could have appeared in their print edition as well, but this comes from their website. If you click the link about Nick McDonald, takes you to an article there at their online version of PFW, Pro Football Weekly. And you scroll to the bottom, it's their last item in just a section about NFC whispers, things being heard. And the article says, quote, "Look for Nick McDonald, who was inactive his entire rookie season with the Packers, to get a legitimate shot at the starting offensive left guard spot next season." General manager Ted Thompson said at the NFL Combine that he thought both McDonald and 2010 fifth-round offensive lineman Marshall Newhouse, who also failed to get on the field this past season, could make big jumps in 2011. So that's the news from PFW. I guess I just don't know where the love for Mick McDonald is coming from. I mean, I agree that, you know, why not? Well, let's backtrack here for a second. First of all, this is all based upon Darren College leaving next season or this season via free agency. So that's kind of an assumption in all of this. I mean, again, we have no clue what's going to happen to Darren College, like we didn't know what's going to happen to Cullen Jenkins. But assuming College leaves via free agency, you know, who's going to take his spot? You know, I personally think the guy who's going to get the first crack is TJ Lang. He's played there in the past. He's actually played in the past. He actually has service time in the NFL, 2 years worth, both his rookie season and last season. Albeit he hasn't played a ton, he hasn't been a starter, but he at least has some experience and has played well for stretches for the Packers. To me, the guy who would be second in line, no reason they shouldn't at least give him a chance to win a job, would be Marshall Newhouse. He's a guy who was a fifth-round draft choice, was invested in last season. You know, he has a much higher salary than Nick McDonald. Now, I mean, I haven't seen Marshall Newhouse or Nick McDonald since training camp last season. They didn't play in a single game all year. So, I mean, I don't have a whole lot to base this off of, you know, in terms of their play on the field. But, I mean, you have to think that Marshall Newhouse, because of what's invested in him, would at least be given the second shot. And not that they're opening up, you know, I think they should open it up to everybody. But I think Nick McDonald would be, to me, third in line, the third guy down the depth chart. And again, I mean, good for the Packers, good for him for, you know, getting a chance to win a starting job at left guard. I guess I just see Nick McDonald as being the longest shot of them all, not knowing him, not seeing him play. So he was undrafted last season, but the Packers did sign him as an undrafted free agent, and he won a spot on the 53-man roster last year despite long odds, which says something about him. You know, I mean, and especially what said even more about Nick MacDonald is that he was kept on the roster the entire year despite, what is it, 13 guys on injured reserve. At any time, they could have cut him to improve depth at other positions. You know, cut him to get more depth along the defensive line. You know, when they, when Justin Harrell and Mike Neal went down last year and they needed depth at the position, depth there, they could have cut Nick down. But no, the Packers decided to keep him all year long. And the same can be said of Marshall Newhouse as well, though. So we will see who the starting left offensive guard will be next year. And I suppose that's a question. I will throw it on the live blog if you want to put in your 2 cents on who the offensive left guard will be next season. Whether it is Nick MacDonald, who I think is the longest shot, or whether it'll be TJ Lang, who has gotten playing time before, has played there before, or Marshall Newhouse, a left guard last season, who didn't play but was a draft choice. So, John Rahor throws out his guess, TJ Lang. I think so too. I think he's given the first shot, and I think he wins it. Of course, and once again, this depends on what the Packers do during the draft as well. They could go out and draft Mike Pouncey with their first-round draft choice this year out of Florida. Brother to Marquise Pouncey, who, of course, as we know, we heard a lot about Marquise Pouncey during the Super Bowl, which he didn't play in, but you know, was a Pro Bowler in his rookie season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, the Packers could draft an interior offensive lineman like that and could make a splash, could be a starter. Kind of seems like a decent choice for a first-round draft choice to me. He could be the Packers at the 32nd pick in the draft, could take the first interior offensive lineman off the board in the entire NFL draft. They could be getting the top player along the interior offensive line. That's good stuff, if you ask me. I mean, I don't know exactly where, you know, the value is for these guys yet, whether they're worthy of a first-round draft choice or not. But, you know, that is one option, Mike Pouncey. Danny Watkins of Baylor is another option. Rodney Hudson of Florida State is another option. We will see. I mean, those are all options for the 32nd pick in the first round that the Packers could decide to go in. Whether or not that happens, we will find out come April. Yeah, I mean, as far as going forward here now, one of the last things... the last thing to talk about is the NFL draft, and you know, I suppose once that comes and goes, a month and a half from now, late April, we may not know what to talk about after that point. I suppose we could talk a lot about the rookies and the new additions to the Green Bay Packers if there continues to be a lockout, continues not to be a CBA at that point. But as far as episodes of Railbird Central and episodes of anything going forward, it's going to be tough to talk about. You know, shortly after the draft is the time when OTAs occur and minicamp in the May-June time frame. You know, that kind of gives people a lot to talk about as the rookies get on the field for the first time, see where they fit in. You know, you can just remember last year at that time, Morgan Burnett was like stepping into the starting lineup with, I believe it was, who was holding out, Atari Bigby, hadn't signed his tender at that time. So, you know, could be a lot of interesting storylines, but without OTAs and without minicamp, we won't have so many of those this year. But we'll enjoy it for the time being. We'll enjoy the draft talk going forward here for the next month and a half, the next 6 weeks or so, as we anticipate the NFL draft and can always hope there's a new CBA struck in the meantime. That about does it for today, folks. It is 8:58. The show ends at the top of the hour. Thanks for tuning in today. Really appreciate you checking in, listening to me rant and rave and ramble at times. It's always good to talk football, even if there may not be football in the future. We're all optimistic. I think everybody is. So thanks for listening today, folks, for joining in for Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. Once again, I'm Brian Caribou. Thank you to my moderators today, Alex Telich and Jamie Jors, for helping out on the live blog portion, and for everybody for tuning in, and hopefully you check out our podcasted version of the show on iTunes. Just search Cheesehead TV on iTunes, and you should find it. Thanks a lot, folks. I will see you later, and take care.